Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the regular meeting of the Community Relations and Blight Committee to order at 5:04 on May 1st, 2025. Please stand for the pledge. Will the clerk call the roll?
Sure. Mr. Chevarella? Mr. Newberg?
Here.
Mr. Sill? Ms. Pettinici?
Here.
Okay, you have a quorum, Mr. Chair, Acting Chair.
Thank
and
you,
this is just for the record, this is a special meeting. So this is a special meeting because it's not on a regular night.
Yeah. So number four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adopt agenda. There is none because it is a special meeting. So number five, public portion. Is there anybody from the public who would like to speak? Come up to the podium, press the mic. Or if you're on Zoom, just unmute yourself. And then before you speak, state your name and address for the record. Is there anybody from the public who would like to speak? Anyone from the public who would like to speak? Third time, anyone from the public like to speak? No takers, public portion is now closed. Number six, Blight Department. Blight officers, discussion and possible recommendation to the full board of aldermen. Carmine. Okay. So we can either go down the list we've been doing, or you can just give us updates on the priority stuff, big ticket items.
Okay, the update is in the file that was sent out, and I sent out copies tonight also. Agenda is that I asked Matt Sponheimer this week to give me some updates on some of the foreclosures that are happening, especially on Crescent Street, which is an issue again. I'm getting complaints on that building. 6 Elm Street and 1011 Roosevelt and 131 Hawkins, the old tavern, the bar. He said everything's in process.
Yeah.
So there's not much we can do. There's one thing I do need to know, though, is on 153 Roosevelt, Dan's garage, with his junks out front.
Yes.
Does his used car license cover those junks? Because otherwise, I have to get them out of there. I mean, if they're junk cars, he says he has a used car license, which he does.
Did we verify?
Yeah.
He has a license?
Yeah, I saw the license.
Then let me get back.
But I need to know if that would cover the junk cars because they don't run. They're just cars. And it's just, it's a sore sight. Okay. There's other complaints I've been getting that within the next week or 10 days, I'll be filing blight liens on the houses because it's been 30 days. Nothing's new happened to the houses. So we'll be filing liens on those. And now summer's here. I'm basically getting the same complaints over again. It's just a rotation of same complaints. So we make the complaints, we send the letter out. It's only a 30-day wait now instead of 90 days. Mm-hmm. So after the 30-day, then I'm filing the blight lien on the house, and that fine starts at $3,000 from the 30 days, as everybody should know that. So basically that's it, trying to keep, the complaints I got and have the tenants and the homeowners. The problem is a lot of absentee owners. They're not there. So by the time they get the letter, they refuse the letter.
Yeah.
One more thing, Rich. On 274 Derby Avenue, I sent Matt the paperwork for...
For a life. New lien.
Excuse me?
For a new lien?
Yes, for a new lien. However, I didn't realize, because the envelope was put in the file, that the letter was refused. So how do we handle that? Do I have to serve him with a sheriff, or...?
That's the best service.
All right.
Available.
So then I'll Marshall, just
and the Marshall
we'll just service it and have him he's in Shelton and he refused the letter, so
we have his residence address.
I have the only address that I have other than 274 Derby Avenue. I don't have a resident unless I could try and get a resident address.
Let's try to deal with it offline.
I can go to the Secretary of State's office and see if I get a is there a residence address on that?
I'll talk to Matt. Just Matt, send me an email.
Okay. I don't mind doing that.
Yeah.
I've done it before, but So I can't file that then until he gets notice on it.
Let's serve him.
Serve him anyway?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Matt has the paperwork on that.
Okay.
And I sent him another one on 165 Mount Pleasant Fuel, Mount Pleasant, to file that blight lien also.
Okay.
And I think there's a third one that I don't remember offhand. So you should have three new blight liens to go out.
So they get held up because we do title searches now.
Right. As long as I know it's filed. I mean,
yeah.
That's my concern. It's we're not waiting 90 days and then we start the process.
Yeah. No.
You know, it's 30 days. So
no, we cut that down.
Yeah.
So we also prepared a list from us as corporation counsel that I'd ask you to consider covered by the attorney-client privilege. And you'll see there are three categories in it, and we could talk about it sometime, some other time, in an executive session, perhaps.
You want that for the next agenda here or the full board?
Full board. Full board. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Any questions for me?
So I want to go through like the bigger ticket item. So 23 Anson Street, just any updates on
23 Anson and 77 Minerva, all by the same guy.
Yeah.
Constantine, I think his name is Cade.
Rad Constantine.
Yes. He came in and he was going to sell 77 Minerva. However, we have a lien on that house. So he's in a bind of paying us out, and he knows he's got to pay us.
Okay.
It's probably not going to be that amount, you know, we'll go from there, but he knows he's got to pay us. And I think I saw him talking to Brian in the tax office that same day. So he's got problems.
Both matters are in foreclosure.
Right.
Was he trying to sell it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was trying to sell 77 Minerva Street.
Yeah.
He lives in New York, and that's why he came up here to see me, mm-hmm. trying to work that out. And I says, you have to pay it. There's no working out. You know, when you close, then we'll decide, you know, what we're going to do.
Anybody else have any questions on specific properties?
Not on one on the list. Just one that I raised right before the meeting with Carmine and Dave here is that there's a house on Academy Hill. Not quite sure the number, probably in the 40s, that has a tractor trailer out in the front lawn. Thank you. 27. It previously had been parked more in the back, kind of behind some shrubbery. And now it's out on the forefront. And quite frankly, it's all you see coming down or up the hill. So I think we should probably take some action.
I'll address that with the zoning on.
Thank you.
Cool. Anything else, George? No? Okay, so we can move on.
Good. Thank you. Have a nice
night. So number 7, Derby MLK Mural Project and Team Inc. Discussion and possible recommendation to the full board of aldermen. Is there a motion? So we can discuss. Sorry, did I do that wrong, Mark?
Well, if you want to discuss it, I mean...
Oh, we discussed it before.
I mean, it's because you're just making a recommendation to the board, so you might want to discuss and then figure out what you want to recommend.
Okay, cool. So let me see where it is.
It's in the packet. It was just received today, so it's but it is in your packet, in your hard copy packet. It should be
there. Yeah.
Item number 7.
It was the discussion on what people we're going to honor, how many we're going to honor, where is it going to go?
Well, last time we talked at the committee meeting, there was, I believe it was Randy who chimed in and said that one of the people that was painted on the mural actually wasn't from Derby. He moved to Ansonia after Ansonia became incorporated, so it wasn't a part of the city. So this new picture no longer has that, and it's just the three names. I know Mary Portis and Ebenezer Bassett were two names that Randy did recommend at the last committee meeting, so it looked like they did take our feedback. They want this to be done, I think, for Juneteenth, so we're in May. So, I mean, in my mind, I don't see any reason not to move it forward to the full board, unless you guys have any concerns.
No, so they make a motion to have me move this to the full board for discussion.
Okay. Motion made by Dave. Is there a second?
Second, Amy.
Thank you, Amy. Cool. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Passes. Cool. So moving on, number eight, bid waiver for floor of salt shed, discussion and possible recommendation to the full board of aldermen. Mayor.
I'm up. Okay. So first, I'd like to say this, that the salt shed is complete. It's up. If you get a chance to drive by and go look at it, it's a beautiful sight. We've needed a salt shed for so long, and we finally have our own now. So it's in the back of the Public Works garage, and all due because of our negotiations with the UI. So it was a, you know, I'm Public Works for 34 years. I'm so excited to see that back there. So so the issue is this, is that it didn't come with a floor. So it needs a concrete floor, okay? So Mike got three prices for the concrete floor, which you have in your packet. The issue for the bid waiver is this, is that they're trying to get the floor done. It's got to cure after it's done. And then he has money left over in his salt account. So he's trying to fill the salt shed as much as he can this year before the year ends, so he can spend the money that he has and get the price that the salt is right now, instead of doing it next year and not knowing what the price is going to be. Plus, again, he has money left over this year, so why not get a setup for next year? So that's kind of why we're looking for the bid waiver. Time is a problem with this issue. If we went out to bid and it took a month to do that, plus don't go over the bids and everything else, it would be probably past the fiscal year of this year, and we would not be able to use that money that he has in the account right now. So we're trying to be proactive and get it so we can use that money and we can fill the salt shed for the beginning of next winter. I think it's a great idea.
So you said there was three bids, right? So I see Frank Pepe, I see, and then it's the Valeda Lawn, Masonry and Home Improvement, then United Civil.
Yeah.
Those are the three?
Yeah. Those are the three prices that Mike got. United Civil was the one that put the salt shed up.
Okay. Gotcha. So I will just note that this is dated back in November. So like in terms of it being like timely concern, like, you know, we're now in May and we're just hearing it.
We had to wait for the salt shed to be built.
Yeah, but I mean the bid for it, right? You received the proposals back in November before it was built?
Yes, because we knew that it didn't cover the floor. Yeah. So Mike went and got prices.
Yeah, I don't know. So just in my mind, like the proposals were received before the salt shed was put up. You know, it's not like we had to wait for it to be built before we had to go out.
Well, you kind of knew because you didn't know when it was going to be built. You didn't know how long it was going to take them to build it, when they were going to start. No, there was no concrete evidence.
Yeah, but I mean, like the bid part of it is more like seeing the cost and stuff like that. Obviously, it could change after it's built, but it's, I don't know. It's just, yeah. And also the charter says for anything over $15,000, it's supposed to go to a sealed bid process. Anything less than 15,000, but more than 2,500, it's, you can go for three bids, but if it's beyond a certain amount, you know, it's supposed to be sealed, you know,
and we, I don't know. We've given plenty of bid waivers before to the WPCA and other people. So we're just asking for a bid waiver for this so we can get it done and get the salt in the salt shed and be proactive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not against the project. It's just a matter of the charter not being followed. And if the procurement policy isn't working, then we can change it. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
I hear where you're coming from. Again, looking at the dates, Mr. Mayor, again, how come we couldn't do the bid process back in November, December with these? I understand the shed wasn't up, but couldn't we approve who our vendor was going to be that we accepted for the flooring?
We wanted to get the salt shed built first. That's what we wanted to do. We didn't have a time frame on when they were going to start, how long it was going to take.
That wasn't going to affect the bid process. You got the bids. We could have obviously done following the policy of the process and avoid us having to do the bid waiver. I'm guessing somebody dropped the ball and didn't do that. I mean, obviously, again, I want to help and save money and do things the right way. But again, I think you guys did it. You got all the bids all nice and early. And then now you bring them to us now and saying, all right, can we do the bid waiver, but we had the bids. And again, what is it, 30 days they had to be posted or process-wise? I don't know the process.
Yeah, I believe it was 30 days.
But we had plenty of time if we started it earlier to avoid having to do that.
So I guess that's my fault then.
No, I'm not blaming you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just saying that, obviously, again, it looked like we were ahead of the game at one time and something happened along the way. I mean, we are where we are. And listen, I'm for doing the bid waiver, but again, and supporting Arthur. Again, I think, obviously, we want to make sure the process going forward is run smoother. We're planning and preparing so that you don't keep coming asking for the bid waiver. And we are following policy a little bit better.
Yeah, and I'm not doing this to be a pain in anyone's side, but last year we were asked to approve a bid waiver too for the Silver Hill repaving. That proposal from Frank Pepe was received back in May, and it didn't come to us until September. We approved that bid waiver under the, you know, understanding the paving season was going to be done by winter. There was a time constraint, you know, and we're only really supposed to be approving bid waivers if it's urgent, if it's timely, and, you know, or there's only one or two firms that could actually do the project. I don't know. That was my main reason for bringing it up. It feels sort of like this is the second time of this happening with the bid process not being followed. You know, and every municipality I've, you know, done work for in my own, you know, job, they pretty much follow their procurement policy to a T. You know, it's good government practice. It maintains faith of, you know, our residents believing that their elected officials are doing what needs to be done without any sort of, you know, picking favorites or like going with the cost that's not the most effective. So
there's no picking favorites here. So no, I don't even know why you would say that.
No, it's just the reason behind it. I'm sorry. But yeah.
But if I can just pick up.
Your mic is off, Rich.
If I can just pick up off on your last comment, there is an urgency now. There is an urgency now because July 1 is the start of the next fiscal year, and we're on May 1. So right now, there is an exigency. So that is a good ground for a bid waiver now. We are where we are now.
Yeah, I get that. Okay. If it's now for the fiscal year, but then we go back to, it's dated November 19, 2024.
But,
you know, we had the time, even though it is.
But I'm not addressing that.
I'm not addressing that.
I'm just pointing out, you just said it. You recognize now, Dave's comment.
I hear you.
What it is. Yeah. We are where we are. And
I hear you, but is that the precedent we want to set where we just sit for 6 months on a proposal and then when it actually does become urgent because the fiscal year is expiring, we approve bid waivers? I don't know. Like, is that something that we want to keep doing? I don't know. It just feels like this is the second time this happened in less than a year. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
I don't think it. First of all, there is no such thing as a precedent on a big bid waiver. You know what I mean? You don't have to waive a bid in the future. Although bid waivers due to the availability of funds in a current fiscal year, that is a common thing in a municipal budget. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you.
Well, how long are our bids good for? 6 months, a year? I mean,
Mark, can you answer that?
How long is a bid
good for? I think it depends on what the spec says or how you bid it. I mean, you know, like a lot of times vendors will say it's good for X amount of days, 30 days or, you know, 120 days. It depends on the type of project. I mean, in a larger project, you know, where there's a presumption that there would be a review process that takes some time, and they would probably be a longer one. But I mean, and you know, and something like this, I think you just double check with the bidder, I guess, you know, make sure, certainly Mr. Pepe, there's a relationship with the city, so I mean, you know, I don't know, Mary, I wasn't involved in that, but I mean, in general, it's hard to say. It would, if it was specified in the bid.
This is just a general question for future stuff too. I like, can I make a motion to?
I did. Can I just say, make a comment? So I don't work in government, but I do work in a financial institution, and I know how things can often have the greatest plans, and then, you know, other priorities take place and other things happen, and there are times that things fall to the wayside. If we do need to look at our process in general, I think we should absolutely take that as an aside and do that. I think, though, for this, after, you know, doing some, you know, research and looking back and kind of looking back at other meeting minutes and seeing how often this has happened, I did only find one other time. And so I don't know if this is like a common occurrence, because in 2 years or a year and a half, it's only happened here twice. So I am going to not steal your motion. You can make it. Make the motion to progress this to the full board. I think that if anything, we can have, you know, a further outline of things, other topics that we want to talk about that might come, you know, out of this. And I think that, you know, we should have those discussions. But for this, I'm going to make the motion to push it to the full board, because I don't want to lose the money for the salt for this year, for next year.
Motion made by Amy. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. All right. And yet another bid waiver in front of you. I'll make this one easy for you, because it's considered sole source, which is in the charter and talks about it. So what we're looking for is we have a building down there on the WPCA property, which houses the VAC truck. Back in 2007, when the truck was purchased, the building was too small. They had to put an addition on the building. The addition was put on, but they never put a garage door on it. We've been storing the VAC truck at Pepe's, as a matter of fact, for $1,000 a month. So from 2008 or 2009 till about 2018, we were paying $12,000 a month to have that truck stored all year. $12,000 a year to have the truck stored. Now it's time to put a garage door on there. The garage door that we're looking at is built at Overhead Door. It's the only company in Connecticut that builds garage doors at commercial properties. Every business that I looked into, and even the other vendor who gave me the quote, said, if you want us to put a door up, we're literally going to go to Overhead Door and buy the door, and then we're going to put it up, but we put it up at our prevailing wage rate. So the quote for Overhead Door to actually build this door and install it themselves was $18,900 or $18,800 and change. The other quote that I got, just to make sure I was doing the right thing, was for almost $26,000. Because once again, they're going to go to Overhead Door, they're going to buy the same door, pay what we would pay, but their installation rate is on a much higher scale than Overhead Door. So it's in my consideration, considered a sole source solution to ask for the bid waiver.
Yeah, I agree. Plus we're saving the city money. So
trying to, we're going to spend a lot down there soon.
Yeah. So I'd entertain a motion to move this to the full board.
Yes, I'll make a motion that we move it to the full board.
Motion made by Dave. Is there a second? Oh,
yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no, we can go back. Yeah.
And it might be in here. I'm sorry. How long does something like this last? And is there like a...
That's an excellent question. So this door, I don't know if you're all aware, but obviously we're going to put probably about $50 million into this waste treatment plant over the next few years. These doors, the single door that we're putting up will be one of six that go into the new building. So we'll be utilized again, and that door will 20, 30, 40 years. So we aren't spending the $18,900 and then throwing it away when we redo the plant. That door has been sized and will be utilized in the new facility.
Thank you. I second the motion.
Okay.
I just want that question.
Second to Amy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Yeah. Thanks. Number 10, German, is there a motion?
Motion made by Amy.
Thank Second. You, Amy. Second by Dave. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
5:29 p.m. So we'll stop the recording and the next meeting will start in a few minutes. Thank you.